Now, the state of Manipur is a part of the northeastern region of India. Again, there are various permits and security concerns when the tourists are going for a visit to Manipur. So, there are certain permits for the states, certain regions wherein the tourists are not allowed, and there are restrictions over here. So, although when we are talking about the sites, the entire state which gives you feel is that it has a specific or special Manipuri culture that it comes with. So when a tourist is visiting Manipur, the one of the attraction which is the USB of Manipur is the Manipuri culture, along with the beautiful nature or scenes that one can see at Manipur. So some of the notable attractions are noted here: Sri Govindaji Temple, which is adjacent to the palace of the former rulers. It is a sacred center for Vaishnavists. Now, what do we have here is the Radha Govinda idol. It is flanked by idols of Balram and Krishna on one and Jagannath, Balbhadra and Suprabhadra on the other. It is visited by many people for this religion. So, Sri Govindaji Temple and the palace of the earlier rulers in Manipur. So, these both can be viewed. Next that we have is the Shahid Minar. The name name is corresponding to the fact that it is commemorating the Manipur martyrs who sacrificed their life during the struggle of freedom against the British, and this was in the year 1891. So this is one of the structure that is there. Then we have the War Cemetery, which is built so as to commemorate those soldiers, both of the British and the Indian Army, who died in the Second World War. So we have these sites which are a must visit. What do we have further is certain other things. One of the most important one would be the Manipur Zoological Garden, and there is Sangai, that is bro-antlered deer. It is a state animal of Manipur. There are many legends which are associated with the animal. Sangai, especially the word that is there, it means an animal in waiting. So it is based on the fact that when the bro-antlered deer is running or just walking across, because of the special ecology which is there at Manipur Zoological Garden, it's marshland. So most of the times the bro antlered deer is found in this marshlands. While it is running, it runs for some time and then stops and then looks behind. So that is how the name is there, that Sangai, and it's a state animal. It is considered to be according to the legends, it is a binding soul. It is something which connects the people of Manipur to the nature of Manipur. So that is one of the rare species which can be seen here. Apart from this, there are many other wildlife species that we have. Next that we have is located in Bishnupur is a conical temple, and rightly from the name that we know, it is dedicated to Lord Shiva. It is built in around 1467. So again, one of the site that one can visit. Now there is Moirang, which has an ancient temple and an INA museum. INA museum has things with respect to how the struggle was, and this is the site where the first national flag hoisting took place. So Moirang also has an ancient temple here. Now, Moirang has many legends which are there. One of the famous ones which is famous throughout Manipur is the epic story of Khamba Thoibi. So, it's a story, and most of the times it is involved in the dance forms. So, the Moirang temple forms an integral part of the culture here. Next, what we have is Kebul Lamjau National Park. It is supposedly world's only floating park. Why floating? Because it is in and around the Loktak Lake. Loktak Lake is again one of the most famous sites in Manipur, and it is protected site. So it is an integral part of Loktak Lake. The site is famous because it houses many rare species, and the ecological balance is to be maintained here so as to make sure that Manipur has its natural riches that it has. So that's the national park here. Next that we have is Andro. It has a cultural complex. Andro is built as a authentic Manipur village. So if one is visiting Andro, one can see there are different things which are here than there are how the way of Manipur life or the Manipuri life is giving. So it gives an insight about culture of various tribes. So you can see with respect to the entire village, that is how the huts are made, what are the things in day-to-day life which are used. So this is here at Andro. Ukhrul, it is the highest hill station of the state, and it is famous for Siroi lily, which is grown near the Siroi hill, and that's the name how it gets is the Siroi lily. Further ahead, what we have is at Ukhrul, there are tribes who consider themselves independent, that is, independent on themselves without the Indian government ruling. So that's one Ukhrul. It has beautiful nature, beautiful scenic views to offer. Next, what we have is Taminglong. Now, when coming to Taminglong, what we can say is it is one of the most less explored destinations in India, but it has loads of it to offer. So there are many, many dense forests. There are many caves, waterfalls, exotic wild orchids. So it is one of those sites which are there in movies where everything is a fantasy forest or others. So in it might not be as developed as a tourist attraction, but that is how it attracts the tourists, because it is still less explored, and it is famous for its raw natural beauty that it has to offer. So one of the main things that Taminglong has is the Tharon Caves. These are supposed to be having its roots with respect to Korean culture. So that's Tharon Caves. They are very dark, and it is expedition to explore them. Then Bunning Meadows is the greenery which we can see, beautiful sights and views to offer. Zailad Lake and Barak Waterfalls. Barak Waterfalls are one of the most famous ones here, along with other waterfalls. What Zailad Lake has to offer are it is housing many, many species of pythons and other water birds and water animals. So these are the most famous tourist spots here. So that's what Manipur has to offer. Let's move to the next state, that's Meghalaya. Now again, Meghalaya comes in the northeastern part. If one can say what is the USB of Meghalaya is that it has many caves, and there are many people who will offer you cave expedition packages to Meghalaya. So one of the most famous one and most visited one would be Krem Mam Lu, which is one of the major attractions in Meghalaya. The cave is located near Chirapunji. Now there are five rivers which make their way through Krem Mam Lu, having a height of 4,503 meters. Now if we are talking about the serious cave expeditors or explorers who are there, you definitely require a guide to explore this cave. Further ahead, there are depending upon the sites that you see inside the cave, it has a passage which goes down. There are sharp edges, rocky edges. Further ahead, there are different chambers to these caves, wherein the tour guides or the guides to these caves have named them as Hanging Garden. So one of the site which is there. So Hanging Garden is something wherein the stalactites and stalagmites are hanged from the roof and around the wall. So that's how it is known as the Hanging Garden. Next ahead, there is a river that we see, five rivers making their way. So there are rivers which are flowing. On the banks of the river, there is a beach, so you can actually sit there. So what happens is, these are the names which are given by the local guides over there. And definitely while touring these caves, it is there is also water inside. So it's about till the thighs, that is, the water is there. So it's one of the adventurous experience that one can have who is interested in exploring these caves. So you have to actually make a way across the caves, and the entire darkness and everything which the cave gives you, that's an experience to which is worthwhile. Next famous cave that we have is Mausan Ram Cave, which is well known for the Shivlinga. Actually, it's a stalagmite deposits of calcium carbonate here, but which looks like a Shivlinga. And there again, it has one of the famous structures, that is a big dome-shaped rock which has a flat surface. So that is here. Again, here people who want to explore these caves can definitely go ahead and experience the cave exploring thing. Further, what we have is Siju Cave. This is a Siju Cave Simsang, which has the stalactites resembling the Blue Grotto, that's near Italy. Blue Grotto caves of the Isle of Capri. It's considered third longest among all the caves in India. Now, the, what is famous over here is the light which comes from everywhere. So, when you go inside the caves, it's a beautiful scenery wherein you can see how the light is reflecting from the interiors of the cave and coming ahead. So, if you actually, you can compare this is a famous Blue Grotto caves which give the bluish tinge to the light which comes, that is the sunlight which enters here. So although there are many river cruises which go through, that is the how you explore Blue Grotto caves, such explorations are not taking place at Siju Caves, but definitely it is worth exploring and getting the different kinds of views and the hues that are developed inside the cave. So that's the one of the longest caves in India that we have. Next, what Meghalaya has to offer is the Museum of Entomology. It's a treasure which houses various exquisite Meghalayan butterflies and insects. It is definitely a privately owned museum, but it has many, many different species of butterflies and insects. Now, what Meghalaya has is Kaisare Hind. This is one of the butterflies, rare species, which is found only in Meghalaya. Now, it is named in such a way because of the beautiful color combination that the butterfly has to offer. So, in fact, it is so rare that people are collectors of this butterflies and this rare species which is there. Next, what we have is Chirapunji, famed for being the rainiest place on the earth, which is actually there is one more place near Colombia which is claiming to be the rainiest place of the on the earth, but for us we will consider Chirapunji as one of the place which has a lot of rain. So this is the rainiest rain belt, the reason because of the Bay of Bengal and the pattern of the wind that brings the rain. Apart from the sites, apart from the way of how one can experience how the people who are living at Chirapunji have adapted to such a climate or such a climatic condition, we can see there are famous limestone caves. It is famous for orange honey, center of Khasi people. These are the people who are indigenously staying at Chirapunji. Then the oldest Presbyterian church and the Ramakrishna Mission. This is what Chirapunji has to offer. One can definitely go. There was a documentary also which was released as to on Chirapunji, which was aired sometime back on television. So Chirapunji is a site that one can visit. Then we have Jagrem, at which is 64 kilometers from Shillong, is a popular health resort. It is it is famous as a picnic spot as well. There are hot springs of sulfur water. It is believed to work against the skin ailments. So curative medicinal properties. So these are certain things that Meghalaya has to offer. The name itself, that is Meghalaya, suggests the place where the clouds reside. And if you actually see the how the tourism is promoted, it is more based on the nature of nature-based tourism. Or like I said, the cave expedition tourism. Further ahead, it's culture that it has. There are many other festivals, cultural festivals that Meghalaya takes promotes to attract. These are the pictures here. We have the Manasaram cave. You can see the shape of the stalagmite here, which is in the Shivling. This we have Siju caves. You can see the water and a long passage. So those are the longest caves that we have. Kaisare Hind, we have a stamp also, postal stamp on Kaisare Hind. See how the color combinations are there. So there are greens and blacks and yellows and oranges. So Jagrem is, these are the hot springs, Jagrem hot springs that we have. So let's move on to the next state, again the northeastern, that's Mizoram. Now, what we have again, Mizoram that offers, it is the northeastern state. There is ILP which is required, that is the inner line permit. Again, with respect to the security of the nation, it holds, it is sharing international borders with the nearby countries. So, Aizwal, Mizoram's capital city. Tropic of Cancer runs through the very heart of Aizwal. Now, what the city has to offer, there are many legends in and around the city. It's one of the ancient ones. It is 112-year-old citadel-like city, as I said, the old ones, with its timber houses, profusion of flowers is set on a, at a ridge approximately altitude 4,000 feet above sea level. So, when a tourist goes in a state like Mizoram, what it has to offer is the entire aura that the state gives you. It has its own culture. Again, the city that we have as well, the entire entire place, that is the houses or the way of people, it gives you, it has an age-old charm to it. So, again, it is famous for the natural scenic beauty that it has to offer. The State Museum on McDonald Hill, Zarkwath has a collection of Mizo costumes, artifacts and historical relics. So here one can see how the tribals of Mizoram state lived and the way of life. So there are certain things that can make us aware of what the people, ethnic people here are. Tamdil Lake is a natural lake. It is an integral part of Mizoram. It is also again a protected site. Furthermore, there are many river valleys throughout Mizoram that give you scenic beauties. So, after Tamdil Lake, what we can have is Paungyung is Mizoram's highest peak. Fragrant herbs, rare species of orchids and redondiras are found here. So again, famous for the species, depending upon how the ecology of the state is, there are these species which are indigenous to Mizoram itself. So one can see various species here. Furthermore, this is a place where it is sharing border with Myanmar and it is sharing border with again Bangladesh on one side. That is here. There is also one tiger reserve near this area, which goes half or some part of it goes towards Bangladesh. So that's Wang is the highest waterfall that we have, 750 feet in Mizoram. So overall, if we check what Mizoram has to offer is the natural scenic beauty, the typical Mizoram culture that a tourist can experience and the way of life that Mizoram state has to offer. Due to its strategic position, it is again mandatory for the visitors to have certain permits in order to visit Mizoram as a state. Let's check the next state, that is Nagaland. Now, Dimapur is the ancient capital of the Kachari tribe whose rule existed before the 13th century. So again, this state is also a part of northeastern states or northeastern region of India. It has many legends attached to it. There are many tribes which are indigenous to Nagaland. The thing that attracts people to Nagaland is the culture of Nagaland. It has a festival which, there are annual festivals which are held, the fairs which are held in Nagaland. So these are certain things that we need to experience as tourists. Next, what we have is with respect to the city, reminiscences of the glory of this kingdom can be found in the ruins that are scattered in and around the city. So again, it has an aura of the old city that it earlier was. These ruins are evidence to a culture which had a Hinduism touch to it, but it goes towards the non-Aryan thing. So predominantly non-Aryan. So it's a mixture of different cultures which might have come across this region, especially because it is sharing borders or it is nearer to say China or Tibet or other China or the Myanmar and Bangladesh. So all this has given rise to a typical Nagaland culture, which is home to Nagaland and a USB for the tourism industry. Now the next attraction that we have would be the Sanamati, which is the highest peak in Nagaland. The altitude is 3841 meters above sea level. In winter, the top of the mountains remains snow capped and mountains is ideally suited for trekking and scaling. So there are various trekking expeditions which take place here. They are supposed to be guided trekking expeditions. Then we have the river of salt that is known as Mikhi. It is flowing near Sifi, that's the place. Now this is used for having salt pans, that is from ancient time, to prepare salt cakes. This was used by the villagers, and in early days it was used that this salt cakes were used as a barter system, so in exchange or currency, so it was used as an exchange or currency. Even today it is a part of the culture here. The next that we have Nagaland is the Kohima Wars Cemetery. This was the state which was involved during the Japanese war that we had. The Kohima War Cemetery is a memorial for in honor of those officers and killed during the World War II. Formerly known as Garrison Hill, it is designed in such a way that there are stone steps, and that is again remembering, reminding us of the World War II that we had, the fight that we had. 18 plots of the cemetery, there are 1,421 slabs erected in memory of the soldiers in the Battle of Kohima. So, if you're interested in the history, this was the Battle of Kohima. It was supposedly one of the most gruesome battle of history of India that we have. And again, we have a cathedral which is in memory. It is raised by the people, the Japanese survivors, and there were donors which came here, and that is how the cathedral was built. That is on respect. That is on basis of the collections or contributions. A permanent olive wood crib from Bethlehem's olive wood has also been installed here. So these are certain attractions that Nagaland has to offer. Further ahead, there is one more thing, that is Naga Heritage Complex. Now this was inaugurated by Government of Nagaland. It was a way to make sure that people understand what the culture of Nagaland is. Here we have the festival, the Hornbill Festival, which is celebrated annually. It is permanent site at Kisama, situated 12 kilometers away from Kohima. So like I said earlier, there are many festivals which take place at Nagaland, attracting the tourists. If you can search, there are many documentary short films, travel films which are on Nagaland. You can easily view the cultural festivals that are held at Nagaland. So this is one of the sites, that's the heritage complex that is built. It serves as a window to Nagaland and aims to show the state as a single platform, that is the Naga heritage and culture. So it is supposedly one of the USP. If when promoted correctly, it will be one thing that will attract not only the international tourists but also the domestic ones. So this is something which Nagaland has to offer. Let us move to the next state that we have. Now the state of Orissa, famous for two things first, and definitely that is Konark Sun Temple and Jagannath Puri, the Puri Temple. Now let us concentrate on the first thing, that's Konark Sun Temple. You cannot miss it. It's one of the UNESCO World Heritage Site. If you actually see the beautiful images of this temple, it is a temple which is dedicated to Surya God, that sun God. Most beautiful, most sacred temple in Orissa. It is beautiful to watch the architecture and marvel at how the people must have actually built it. It is King Narasimha Deva of the Eastern Ganga dynasty that constructed the temple. Now, since it is dedicated to Surya, in the mythology we have that Surya has a chariot. That's the Surya God chariot or Sun God chariot that we have. So the design of the entire temple is such that it is representing the shape of a colossal chariot with 7 horses and 12 wheels carrying the Sun God, Surya God to the heavens. The architecture, the exteriors of this walls of the temple are also having erotic sculptures which add up to the beauty of the temple. So the entrance has two giant statues of lions which are guarding the temple, and that's the erotic sculpture. So the entire temple complex is beautifully well preserved. There are restoration works which are going on here. Further ahead, it attracts lots of visitors to visit this Konark Sun Temple. So it is definitely one of the site which has to be visited. So again, if you go on certain sites, tourism official tourism websites of Orissa, that's Odisha tourism. You can see these images. Again, Konark Sun Temple also has festivals, that's dance festival, which has Odissi dance festival. There are lightings shows which take place on Konark, and it is beautifully lighted up. And in the background of this temple, with this temple in the background, this dance festivals and cultural festivals are taking place. This is the ideal time when the tourists actually visit, so they have the experience of the of viewing these beautiful dances. Next temple that attracts visitors from across the world, one of the holiest shrines that we say, is the Jagannath temple. It's an 11th century temple. Now there are many, many myths which are attached to this temple. In fact, it has references as old as the Vedic periods. So Lord Jagannath, accompanied by goddess Subhadra and Balbhadra. Now these are ornamented in accordance with the occasion and seasonal changes. Now there are references during Mahabharata times also about this particular temple. The origin and the ancientness, that is the period from when this particular temple is existence, is still unknown, or it is rather a matter of debate. What we have here is, it is built in a pyramid shape. The temple has four main entrance gates. Then there is a wheel on top of the temple which is known as the Neel Chakra. It is made of 8 metals and different flags are hoisted at the mast which is attached at Neel Chakra. Further ahead, one of the things that is followed, one of the rituals that is followed, is the idols which are made of wood. And that is a special wood that are made, and it are changed. The idols are changed every 12 years. So it's one of the rituals which is followed in this particular temple. And there are people, that is the priest, who are actually chosen for such things. There are trees which are chosen, and there is specific ritual attached to it. The tree is Margo's tree that we have. So these are the idols which are made from that particular wood. Then again Jagannath temple is famous for is the Rath Yatra of the temple. So this is when the Rath Yatra takes place, and it is said that for people across India, they visit the temple. So it is here that the temple is attracting the tourists again. Next, what we have is the Chilka Lake, Asia's largest brackish water lagoon. This also has references from ancient times. It was supposed to have references as it was known to be the southeast gateway. So what we have is, there are certain references wherein it is coming in a trade route which towards India and out of India. So it is important wetland in the world because it is housing various varieties of wild birds which are there. So Chilka Lake, along with its entire species, forms to be one of the most different kind of unique kind of ecological system that one can see. Then the beaches of Puri. What is most famous about beaches of Puri is not only the beautiful aesthetic beauty that it offers, but the sand sculptures that are there. Now Odisha is home to our own sand sculpture who is there. And this sand sculptures, you can see, if you see the images, there are images which go on which has the themes political. Then there are certain things which are with respect to cricket, certain other national and international themes which are there. So these are the sand sculptures. There are sand sculpture festival which is hoisted here. So that's beaches of Puri. Bitarkanika Wildlife Sanctuary. It is located in the estuarine region. We know estuarine region is the transition region from the river to the salty water, that is ocean. Of Brahmani and Baitarani has 55 different varieties of mangroves. Now, Bitarkanika Wildlife Sanctuary is known as the Green Channel. It is one of the, it provides one of the most beautiful ecology in the state, or rather in the country. It has rare species of salt crocodiles which are found here. So, because the ideal ecology is suitable for this particular types of crocodiles. Further ahead, the mangroves create a green channel, and it is one of the sanctuaries which has very much importance in the country. So this was about Odisha. what again Orissa has to offer is, if we are talking about tourism, we have the definitely the religious tourism that involves in Orissa as a state. Further ahead, the festivals, the famous dance and culture of Orissa attracts the international travelers. Now these are the pictures. You can see the Konark temple lighted. These are the columns which are there, this in and around the temple complex. This is the famous Jagannath temple, the towering towers that we can see. Moving on to the next state, that's Punjab. Without doubt, what Punjab has to offer, the first and foremost things, is the world's largest Gurudwara, which it hosts, the Golden Temple, the sacred shrine for the Sikh. Now, there is this particular shrine not only attracts people from all faith across India, but also throughout the world. Now, it is one of the most holiest shrines built for the Sikhs here. It attracts the pilgrims. The main temple looks particularly arresting because it is golden temple. The exterior is gold. Even inside, there are certain architectural facets which are worth seeing. At one place, there is the continuous reading of the holy book of the Sikhs. There are langars which are held, and more apart from that, the entire architecture that is built, the temple, how it is built, is it has a striking difference with respect to Hindu temples. So ideally the Hindu temples are raised on a platform. Here what the architecture of this particular temple says that it is lowered with respect to in comparison with the other land area in and around it, and the teaching behind it is that the religion should teach you humility. So that is how it is not on a raised platform, but it is on a lowered platform. More importantly, as in the Hindu temple, there is only one entrance towards the main shrine. Most of the times here in this temple, it has four entrances. The idea behind it was to welcome all the people from across the world with different beliefs and religions. So all are welcome here, and there is no restrictions of religion or faith. So that is how that is the idea behind the construction. It is not only the arresting site, but you can see the beautiful beautiful scenes which the temple has to offer. So definitely a worth visit for not only for the religious pilgrims, but also for the tourists who want to view the beautiful Sikh architecture. So when we are talking about Sikh architecture, we are talking about an architecture which was which combines the Hindu and the Mughal architecture combining together and producing a different Sikh architecture here. This is the gold dome which is illuminated. So not only in the evening but also during the daytime, it looks quite arresting. Now the next thing that attracts the tourist is the Wagha border. Now this is every day that happens over here, the lowering of the flags. So we share a border with Pakistan here. Every day there is this particular structure which is the ceremony, that is the Wagha border ceremony, which is a popular tourist attraction. So anyone who goes over here has to experience what happens every day in the evening. So there is Pakistan and India, which has a road in between. The gates are opened. The soldiers from both the side come in the center. Then they are lowering the flags, and it is all done in magnificently correlated sequence. So the ceremony actually lasts for 45 minutes. The soldiers are marching towards the gate at the border, throws wide open, reach there. Ideally, it is a very arresting sight to actually watch this. There are also videos of what the ceremony is all about, so you can definitely see the Wagha border ceremony which is there. The flags of both the countries are flying at the same height, and they have to be lowered. So there are specific things that are done while lowering. You can see the way the flags are lowered, they are crossing each other at the same height. Then the soldiers are saluting. They come back folding the flags and come back, and then the gates are again closed up. The entire for a tourist, the experience is enthralling because there are many tourist groups which are here on one side of the border and the on the other side of the border. Recently, it was said that the ceremony has a lot of what I should say, aggressiveness towards that particular ceremony. It was suggested that this aggressiveness should be lessened. So the entire ceremony is definitely worth watch. Next, what we have is Killa Raipur. It is famous for the rural Olympics that are held here. One of the most famous things being the bull cart racing. So this Killa Raipur was also a part of one of the travel documentaries or the short films that is there. There are many other games which are here. So many people come here not only to take part but also to watch the Olympics that are held here. Patiala is one of the other sites which Punjab has to offer, glorious insight into the history of 18th and 19th century of Punjab. Now there is one structure which cannot be missed, and that is Moti Bagh Palace Complex. There are restoration works which are going on. It has excellent art gallery, imposing 10-acre Killa Mubarak complex. This particular complex, the Killa Mubarak complex, again the restoration work is going on. It is a place, a residential palace of the royalty of Patiala. There are many palaces, one of the famous ones being the Palace Andruni, that is Killa Andruni, the other one being the Darbar Hall. It has many exhibits which are there, one can see. And one can see the typical architecture which it has. It is one of the oldest ones because it is made as a mud fortress. So the architecture is worth seeing. We have the golden temple here. You can see the golden color of the temple shining in the sunlight. And you can see it is on a lowered platform as compared to the buildings which are on the background. This is the Wagha border ceremony. You can see the large amount of people which are there on the side of the border. This is where the gates are opened up. We have the Moti Bagh Palace. This is the Institute of Sports right now. Killa Mubarak, which is here. You can see there are barricades which are on the other side, suggesting that the restoration work is taking place. But definitely this Moti Bagh Palace and the Mubarak, Killa Mubarak complexes are worth seeing in order to see the exhibits and the architecture which is present. So that is what Punjab has to offer. We have already seen what the geography of Punjab is there. The reason why it is known as Punjab is the five rivers. Apart from that, what Punjab has to offer is it comes with it the agricultural land and the scenes that one can see towards the rural side of Punjab where the fields are there. So these are the things that can attract the tourist, and of course its proximity towards Delhi, which is the gateway, one of the main gateways to India. Let us check what the next state is. That's Rajasthan. When we are talking about Rajasthan, it is one of the most beautiful states that India has to offer. It is, as soon as we say Rajasthan, we are talking about lots of palaces, lots of forts, and we are talking about the colorful culture that Rajasthan has to offer. Definitely, it attracts maximum number of international tourists here. Now, Rajasthan as the state, when we are talking about tourist packages, ideally, it becomes a longer duration tourist package because of the distances between the cities of major attractions. So ideally it is said that you require two trips to Rajasthan to complete the entire journey, and that too would be around for 10 to 12 days each time. And even after doing those trips, there will be always something that you might miss to look at. So Rajasthan tourism is much more well developed compared to the other states. This is not only because of the various sites that Rajasthan has to offer, but also because of the aggressive marketing strategy which has been taken place by RTDC. That's the Rajasthan Tourism Corporation. Further ahead, Rajasthan also has the luxury trains, which is one of the international tourist attractions. The train goes around the states of Rajasthan and Delhi and Agra. So this is also one of the train which attracts the tourist. So let's see some of the cities. We won't be able to complete most of them, but one of the cities that is definite there and a visit would be Ajmer. Now, when we are talking about Ajmer, we are talking about the Chauhan dynasty. Prithviraj Chauhan, founded by Raja Ajaipal Chauhan in the 7th century. So it has been the central power for Chauhan dynasties, and until he has lost it to Muhammad Ghori. So thereafter, the Ajmer witnessed dynasties after dynasties, and so what happens is that it went from one ruler to another, leaving behind series of architectural mishmashes, and which has developed into one of the beautiful structures that Ajmer has to offer. So it is blend of Hinduism and Islamic architecture. Ajmer has also one of the most famous shrines of Chististan. It is said that a visit here will definitely have your wishes granted. It has the palaces and the forts that Ajmer has to offer to the tourist. Ajmera also has one fort which has Taraghar fort that is there. Apart from this nearby place that is there, Annasagar Lake, which is the artificial lake which is created. We have Pushkar, which is one more place at Rajasthan. Pushkar is famous for the Pushkar fair that takes place, and further ahead it has a Brahma temple. Now considering the Hindu mythologies, Brahma Dev, one of the three main gods that we have, there are not many temples for Brahma. So one of the temple which is here is at Pushkar. So next, what we have at Rajasthan is the city of Bikaner. Now, Bikaner is a desert city built on elevation and surrounded by long embattled wall. Now, there is a legend here. This was built by Raja Raj Singh. The fort which is here is the Junagadh Fort. It is on a very heighted level. Bikaner, the word has come up. The story behind it is the Rao Bika, who was the person who wanted to shift here at this particular place. And this place was owned by someone else as Nehra Jat. All right. So he agreed to give the place to Rao Bika on one condition, that the name should be included. So Rao Bika and Nehra Jat, and that's how the name became Bika of Rao Bika and Nehra Jat Neer. So that is the story behind the name. The most famous site here would be the Junagadh Fort that it has to offer. Further ahead, the other sites that Bikaner has to offer is the very famous Karni Mata Mandir. Now, you might have heard about this, that it is known as the Rat Temple. So there are many legends which are attached to it. Karni Mata is the main deity of the rulers, was the main deity of the rulers of Bikaner. So there are many myths as to why so many rats are there in this temple, and these are the rats which are wandering around the temple. There is also one of the documentaries, travel documentary, which was created with respect to Rajasthan, and Karni Mata temple is definitely worth visiting. Apart from that, there are the fort that we talked about, and there is Lakshmi Nivas Palace, which is there. Currently, it is converted into a hotel. So these architectures are definitely worth seeing. Next, what we have is Bharatpur. Again, an impregnable fortified city famous for the Koila Dev Ghana Bird Sanctuary. So, Bharatpur Sanctuary that we are talking about, this is the UNESCO heritage site because of the rare bird species that it has to offer. Apart from that, Bharatpur also has one fort, which is the Lohagarh Fort, which is there. So, this Lohagarh Fort is rightly named as Lohagarh because it is impregnable, that is, it was attacked 6 times altogether. There are many passages and it is so heavily built that it was attached for 6 times and the attackers were unable to take the fort. So it is known as the Lohagarh Fort. Further ahead, it also has a huge cannon, a large cannon, and it is known as the cannon of the womb, that is, it has a name to it, Gunjam Garbha. All right, so that's a very large cannon that one can see. So that's Bharatpur. Next, what we have is Bundi, and it is also having lots of palaces, forts, and temples and bawlis. Now, when we are talking about bawlis, we know that Rajasthan, being a desert state or a dry state, there were many bawlis which were created. These were the water reservoirs, water storage, so that this water can be used for the entire year. So these bawlis were created, that is the step wells which were created, and it had beautiful architecture. Even today one can go and visit this particular architectures. One of the most famous one would be the Rani Ji Ki Bawli, which has beautiful carved arches. Apart from that, there are worship temples inside this particular bawlis. So Bundi has streets which are actually painted in blue. So one can see, there are certain songs which are shooted here in the Bundi street. So whenever you have seen certain songs where there are blue houses and narrow streets, that's Bundi where the shooting has been taken place. So likewise, there is Bundi Palace, which is one of the palace at Bundi that we have. Apart from the things that I am covering in this particular session, there are many other sites and many other temples that these particular cities has to offer. So depending upon how much the tourist has to explore the states. Now these are certain pictures here. You can see the Junagadh Fort at Bikaner. It's a massive fort. Then we have the Siberian crane, which is one of the species at the Bharatpur sanctuary that we have. It is one of the migratory birds. And we have the arches that you can see at Rani Ji Ki Bawli. So these are certain photos. If you search online, there are many other photos of excellent views that you can see of this particular cities. Further ahead, since the tourism is developed with respect to hotels, there are many palaces and many heritage hotels, which are the palaces which are converted into hotels. So living in this particular palaces would be also one of the very good experiences for a traveler.